Please turn your Bibles to the book of James. James chapter 1.
Commencing this Sunday,
we shall study the book of James over perhaps the next 2 months in our new series of study. And I thought in my seeking the Lord's help as to which book to study, I thought it would be good that we study the book of James. The author of this book simply identifies himself as James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 1. And we know from other parts of Scripture that there are 6 different people named James in the New Testament, and it is rather certain that this James, here in this book, is the author of this book, is the half-brother of Jesus, as we can deduce from Mark chapter 6 verse 3 and also Galatians 1:19. And of course there are other sources that indicate the author of this book is the half-brother of Jesus. For example, by comparing the sentence structure and words spoken by James in Acts 15 verses 13 to 21. And with this book of James, where we find a similarity in their writing, in their sentence structures and the words used. Another source is through church history. I shall not go into the details on the authorship of this book, but to now turn to the theme of this book. Why did James wrote this book? And here, James, the servant of God, is giving us the difference, or showing us the difference, between pure or true religion with vain religion. James, in his writing, endeavors to expose the myth that the Christian life is easy and not costly, while encouraging true Christian believers to live in close communion or walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, to live a spirit-led life as a Christian, and particularly in the midst of trials. We begin this study with the subject, the benefits of tested faith, or we can call it the benefits of tried faith. Looking at verse 5. And then, of course, we have a subject actually parallel our study of the book of Proverbs. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. When we examine this verse carefully, you will realize that it has a special reference to person in trouble, to Christians who are much tested or afflicted, much tempted, severely tried, saints of God, and they are driven to their wit's end. And though they may be persuaded that in the end good will come out of all affliction, yet we cannot deny the fact, and it is, I'm sure, our own experience, that as they go through those affliction, they may be so distracted or so discouraged as to know not what to do. Therefore, we find here a very seasonal word from the apostle. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And such wisdom that comes from God, shall be afforded to his afflicted people, that the trying of their faith shall produce patience, and they themselves shall count it all joy that they have fallen into diverse trials. However, the promise is not limited to any one particular application for the word "if any of you." So it is very wide, extensive, that whatever be our necessity or our affliction, whatever the dilemma which perplexes us, this text consoles us with the wise counsel, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And this, of course, applies to children too. It is not just for the adult. If any man we use here as in general mankind. And of course, James is writing to the Christians, as we see in verse 1, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. So if any of us, whether as a minister of the gospel, Sunday school teachers, Christians, sinners seeking the Lord, if you lack wisdom, seek of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. The word upbraideth means to reprimand or to insult. No, the Lord will not do that to those who earnestly, sincerely seek him of wisdom. Let us put ourselves then at once in seeking God's wisdom, and may God the Holy Spirit make it effectual to every one of us who are his children. First, I shall call your attention to the reasons for the lack of wisdom. The reasons for the lack of wisdom. This lack occurs from diverse reasons. Sometimes it is our pride, and I would say most of the time it is our pride, which makes us fools. Our natural heart rebels against the simplicity of the way of salvation. We reject God's truth out of our pride. And why is pride hinders us or prevents us from seeking God's wisdom? Because when in asking, it brings us low. We, wretched sinner, in our natural state, and even for the born-again Christian, this old nature, this sin of pride, is ever so strong in us, waiting to rise up. Because in asking, it lowers us down. In asking, it implies we are weak. And in our natural self, we do not like to give people or let people know that we are weak. We like people to commend us and praise us that we are strong, we are fast, we are smart, we are intelligent, we are good, we are honest. We like all that. But to ask your friend for help, hurts your pride. And that is why you see many of us in our human relationship. For example, if you want to ask for financial help, even from our family members, when we are truly in need of financial help, particularly the Chinese, mo min jie, no face, no one ask. Ask means what? I will imply that I'm poor. No, how can I let people know that I'm poor? I'm okay. I can do it. And so it is also in our relationship with God as Christians. We don't ask because asking brings us, it punctures, it pierces
the marrow of our pride, because we don't like that. We want people to look at us as number one, good, strong and mighty. So we say in our hearts, am I supposed to do nothing but simply accept the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ which He has done for me? Am I to leave off doing anything and merely to look to Jesus who was nailed to the cross to find salvation in Him? So pride blinds our judgment, blinds our understanding to the way of salvation, and we turn away from the Lord. Dear friends, if this be your difficulty in coming to Jesus, if your proud heart is at the root of all difficulty about your coming to Christ, whether coming to Him for salvation, whether coming to Him for wisdom, if this is the thing that turns you aside and makes you foolish, then go to God. Go to the Lord Jesus and seek wisdom from Him. He will show you the folly of this, your pride, and teach you that simply to trust in Jesus is at once the safest and the most suitable way of salvation. He will make you see that if the way of salvation have been by doing with your own works or whatever, the method would not have suited you. For what would you do to save yourself? Or how could you save yourself? If it had been by feeling, it would not have suited you either. For what can your hardened heart feel? How can you make yourself tender of heart? But seeing that it is by faith, it is therefore by grace that you may be made wise enough to stood and humble yourself before the Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who invites you to come and buy this wine and milk without money and without price, and accept with your whole heart, with intense joy, this perfect righteousness, this finished salvation which Christ has wrought out and brought it in for every seeking soul. No doubt, there are those who lack wisdom because they are not instructed in gospel doctrine. It is sad to see how Satan will plague many fearful hearts with doctrine of election. That doctrine, rightly understood, is actually full of comfort. But distorted and misrepresented, it often appears to be a boat to shut the sinners out from mercy. The fact being that it shuts none out, but shuts tens of thousands in. So, why? This very doctrine of atonement is not understood by many while they are under a sense of sin. If they could see that Christ took their sins and carried their sorrows, if they could perceive or understand the meaning of that word substitution, light will immediately break in and they will turn to the Lord Jesus. The window of understanding is blocked up with ignorance. If we could but clean away the cobwebs and the filth, then might the light of the knowledge of Christ come streaming in, and they might rejoice in God's salvation in Jesus Christ. Well, dear friends, if you are confused, if you are puzzled with difficult doctrine, the text comes to you and says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Besides, many lack wisdom not only because of their fears and their ignorance, they are fiercely attacked by Satan. John Bunyan tells us of Apollyon that he said, "No king will lightly lose his subjects." You understand that? No kings will lightly or will willingly lose his subject. Of course, Satan will not cease to enslave sinners and to prevent them or to hinder them to the coming to receive Jesus as their Savior. He will see to it that they will not go under the banner of King Jesus. The great enemy makes a dead set at anxious soul. He stings that soul with infidel insinuation and hideous blasphemies. So my friends, if you are in such a plight, with your foolishness or foolish heart, and the wicked world, and the evil one, and your sin in dreadful alliance to destroy you, what could such a poor, timid sinner as you are do? If it were not for this precious promise, if any of you, that means you, my friend, that means me, if any of us lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. We come to the second point in our text, the way to seeking or getting wisdom, or the path to seeking or getting wisdom, which is, let him ask of God. So now you see that we are directed at once to God, who is the infinitely wise God. There is no intermediate object to go to, no ceremony, no person to turn to except to God. You are not told here to seek direction from books, to how good the books may be written. They may become very useful as auxiliary helps. We don't deny that. And indeed, it is the Lord who gave wisdom, knowledge to those writers in writing helpful Christian literatures and books for our spiritual edification, no doubt. But the best of human books, if followed slavishly, will mislead. It fails, as all human guides must. If we trust in them and forget the great shepherd of the sheep. Hence the text does not say, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of his priests, of his ministers, of his pastors, or elders, or deacons, or whoever, or your Sunday school teachers. No, that is about the worst thing you can do, my friend. For he who sets himself up for a priest or a pastor is either a deceiver or deceived. Let him ask of God. That is the advice of Scripture. We are all, is it not true? We are all so instinctively, so to speak, and so readily go to books, go to men, make a phone call to my friends and all those experts and specialists who rub shoulders with all the rich and powerful. You know, you heard of it. Oh, no worries. One call. I know a friend, he's the chief executive officer, he is the president, he is the this and that. No worries. It's all connected. All my networking is done, you know. One call. No worries. And so we will go to that. We will go to ceremonies, to anything, except to God, even those of us who are believers. When we are in trouble, when we are perplexed, instinctively, there's no hesitation. In nanoseconds, my mom, my dad, my this, my that. God is always out of the window. All the Bible verses, the memory verses that we memorize, you know, in our heads, that we can, you know, score A's in all the Bible quizzes and even in seminaries, all flew up. Nothing left. Man will worship God with his eyes, with his arms, with his knees, with his mouth, with anything but his heart. And we are all anxious, more or less, until we are renewed by grace to render God our heart worship. So consequently, our text does not say, let him ask of books, let him ask of priest, pastor, whoever, but let him ask of God. Moreover, remember there is one blessed person of the divine unity who makes it his special office to do what? To teach us. God in his mercy will give us wisdom, will give to his people wisdom as they earnestly and sincerely seek him. Hence, if you go to God for wisdom, you only go for that which it is his nature and his office to give you. The Holy Spirit is given for this purpose. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John 14:26. God is pleased, brethren and friends, to reveal to us the Holy Spirit, who is to lighten our darkness and to remove our ignorance. So pray. Pray for the greater influence of the Holy Spirit upon your hearts, upon your mind. Let that Spirit of God teach you through his word. Let the Holy Spirit teach you, and you shall know all things that are necessary to live a God-pleasing and God-honoring life and godliness. The text says, let him ask, which is a method implying that ignorance is confessed. No man will ask wisdom till he knows that he is ignorant. You see, again, this is another aspect of our pride. That's why I said earlier on, we will not ask, because asking implies I am ignorant. And we don't like that feeling. We don't like that. That pride, which I describe it as a very thin line in our hearts between humility and pride. That thin line that separates is so thin that when we cross it into pride, we don't even realize it. And therefore, we need to pray that God will give us that wisdom, that the Holy Spirit will make us sensitive to this sin nature in us of pride. Asking has also in it the fact that God is believed in. We cannot ask of a person whom we have suspicion or doubt. We will not ask of a person we have serious doubt or suspicion, or knowing that the person may not be able to give us counsel or help. Now, brethren, you believe there is a God, then ask. Do you not, in faith, believe that he is God and that he is here and that he will hear your cry and that he will be pleased in answer to your cry to give you that which he himself commands you to ask? Now, if you believe that there is a God, that he is here and that he will hear you, then confess your ignorance and ask him now to give you the promised wisdom. For Jesus' sake, you need not wait any further. Why should you wait? As a child of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, ask of God now. No form of asking is prescribed here or required. No words laid down. No method detected. No hour set apart. No rules printed. But there it stands. In gracious simplicity. Let him ask. That's all. What's so difficult? What's so difficult? If it is your pride, then pray about it. That God will cure it. Mortify it. My third point. The encouragements to getting wisdom or receiving wisdom. Let him ask of God who giveth to all men. Giveth to all men. What a wide promise. In natural things, God does give to all men life, health, food, clothing. Who maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Every creature, as we know, as we can see and as we observe, every creature is favored with divine benevolence. And there is not a creature, not a creature, from the tiniest up to the swift-winged angels who beautifully flies upon the Master's command or will, which is not made to partake of the gifts of God, the Creator, the Father of lights. Is it not true? So then, if God has gifts for all men, how much more will He have gifts for that man who earnestly turns his or her eye to heaven and cries, "My Heavenly Father, give me wisdom that I may be reconciled to you through the death of your only begotten Son." Remember, God giveth to all men liberally who ask of Him. So seek the Lord, my friend. Seek the Lord, brethren, and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Your hearts shall live that seeketh Him. The next encouragement, God gives to all men liberally. Not only to all men, but to all men liberally. Solomon asked for wisdom. God gave him wealth and power. In nearly every instance of prayer in the Old Testament, if you do a study of all the various prayers in the Old Testament, God gives 10 times as much as is asked for. The Lord will do, as you know the text very well, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask of thing. Ephesians 3:20. If the Lord should liberally forgive your sin, He will be none the poorer. If He should withhold forgiveness, He will be none the richer. Why should He stink His favor? You want to wash away your sin? There is a river of grace to wash in. You want grace to refresh your soul as you are tried and tested? He has floods to pour upon your dry soul, upon the dry ground. We read of the unsearchable riches of Jesus, and here is an ocean of mercy for you to swim in, for me to swim in. Here is an ark large enough not only to hold you, but to float you above the waters of the deluge. The Lord is great in mercy and grace. So who would not ask of so liberal a God, whose thoughts are high above our thoughts, as the heavens are above the earth? There is this third inducement in asking for wisdom. Upbraideth not. God does not conduct Himself like we men. You know, sometimes when people come and ask us for help, what do? Instead of humbly offer help, yes, sure, we offer help, but we add what? We add words like, "You should have done better. Why do you get yourself into such a trouble? Ay, you are so weak and you are terrible. Wake up!" No, our Lord God Almighty, merciful and gracious, He does not reproach us. Even as He offers help, He does not. He comes in gentleness. He comes in sweetness to you. As I said, mentioned earlier, to the word upbraid means to reproach or to reprimand. And of course, it is right for someone or our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who did wrong or went to the path of error, and we upbraid the person, or we rebuild, or we admonish the person out of love so that he or she comes back to the right path. But God never does upbraid seeking souls. He gives liberally and does not dim the luster of His grace by harsh rebukes. Not like us, particularly not like me. The Heavenly Father does not chide the returning prodigal. The prodigal remembered his sins, but his Father forgets them all, and exclaimed with joy, "This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Luke 15:24. If you could but know the overflowing love of the Divine Father, you would not linger in unbelief, my dear friends. Then comes the last encouragement. It shall be given him. Here we have it. It shall be given you. You are not left to suppose that it shall be, or to infer that it may be, but it is written, it shall be given him. But to whom shall it be given? If any of you. See, what a beautiful promise. What a wonderful promise from our Heavenly Father. Do you think God does not mean what He says? Are you still in doubt? Friends, will you add to all your other sins this sin of thinking that God would lie, and therefore you continue and persist in your unbelief, in rejecting Him, that it is not true what God has said or what God has promised? God invites you to ask of Him wisdom, and He says He will give it to you. Doubt not the Lord. Distrust not the veracity of the Lord God, but come at once, humbly, trembling, to the foot of the Savior's cross. Look upon Him as the great atoning sacrifice. Look to His streaming wounds. Look to Him and live. There is life in a look at the crucified one. Look to Him and the promise that you shall be saved. I commend the text to your careful examination, to your thoughtful reflection. Believing acceptance of every sinner, including myself. I commend this text to all of us, that we thoughtfully meditate upon it and believe it. Ask that the sun may not go down until you and me and each one of us have received the promise which the text presents to you. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Him and her, including the children, God will give, if you and I seek Him. May the Holy Spirit now give His own blessing for Jesus' sake. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, eternal God, we give thanks to Thee for Thy word of life, Thy sacred word. We give thanks to Thee, Heavenly Father, that You have given Yourself to us in the person of Your Son, the Lord Jesus, in the person of Your Holy Spirit. You have given us all that we needed, all that is necessary for our faith and practice. We give thanks to Thee that You have not only given us life eternal, washed in the blood of the Lamb, but Lord, You are willing to give us the wisdom that we needed for this life. And so help us to seek. Help us to humble ourselves, to ask of Thee, to come before Thee. May Thou indeed, Lord, help us that Thou will cover our pride with Thy blood, that Thou will increase our spirit of humility to seek after Thee, for You are willing to give. Give liberally and upbraideth not. We give thanks to Thee, for Thou art such a gracious and merciful Heavenly Father to each one of Your children. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.